The Old Testament reading is from 2 Kings chapter 19. Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to mock the living God. Truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they were destroyed. So now, O Lord, our God, save us, please, from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you, O Lord, are God alone. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. The Epistles from Romans, chapter 1. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind, to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned, or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, is this not the man who used to sit and beg? Some said, it is he. Others said, no, but he is like him. He kept saying, I am the man. So they said to him, then how were your eyes opened? He answered, the man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and received my sight. They said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put mud on my eyes and I washed and I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, what do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight, until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, he is of age, ask him. So for the second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. They said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? And they reviled him, saying, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, you were born in utter sin, and would you teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, and who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus said, For judgment I came into this world, that those who did not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, Are we also blind? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, We see, your guilt remains. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Paul's epistle to the Romans is a unique letter of the Apostle Paul. Unlike Paul's other letters, it is written to a congregation that he did not found himself, but a church that only knows him from others. Paul seeks to bring the message of the gospel to the far reaches of Europe, to Spain, and because Rome is the gateway to the West, he is seeking the support of the Roman churches for his missionary journey. To counter the hearsay about him, he sets out and spells out more systematically than in any other letter that gospel which he had received from Christ. That gospel which is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. That message which shows forth the righteousness of God, which is revealed from faith for faith, as was even written in the Old Testament scriptures, the righteous shall live by faith. But it is shocking, at first glance at least, that Paul immediately transitions from that glorious gospel proclamation to a discussion about the corruption of the human heart. For the gospel, for its full power to be understood, for the full proclamation of God's grace to be understood, for the full revelation of the Savior, it is necessary first to understand the state of the men who are to be saved. Original sin, man's bondage to sin, is at the same time one of the most evidently true doctrines taught in the Holy Scriptures, but it is also one of the hardest to fully accept without the work of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. It is obvious because all people have a sense that they aren't quite the person that they were created to be. It is obvious because we see all around us people that we know to be generally good and well-intentioned, nonetheless, not doing the right thing all the time. But on the other hand, it is hard to accept without the Word of God, because we see the flaws in ourselves and in others, but we do not understand the depth and totality of that corruption. And thus Paul begins, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." The key phrase we want to note this evening is this: who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. There is no one, no man, no woman, no child who does not know that God is the ruler of the universe and does not know his law. It is not simply a case that because of sin, we are ignorant of God and his law, as if there were some barrier to the truth that was preventing us from understanding it. But rather, we do know the truth and yet suppress it in unrighteousness. What can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. God has revealed the truth about himself. No one can claim on the last day, "Oh God, if I had only knew you, I would have worshipped you. I would have been your faithful servant, but I didn't know." For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. All of creation testifies to the Creator. All of it reveals the nature of God. The law of God is written on the very hearts of man. So all people are without excuse. Jesus says, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. The problem is that man does see, but is willfully blind. As we see in our gospel text, not only do we reject God's revelation of himself in nature, but even when a miracle is performed, we can suppress the truth in unrighteousness. The Pharisees' response to Christ's miracle is to declare that this man is not from God. The atheist professor in the university, the pagan idol worshiper in rural India, the Buddhist philosopher, the Mongolian shaman whom Ryan and David will be going to evangelize in the future, the neighbor boy who doesn't go to church, is not ignorant of God, for God has revealed himself to them through the things that he has made. He has placed his law in their hearts. And the chief commandment of the law is, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. Yet, although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. The university atheist and the idol worshiper alike puff themselves up and claim knowledge and wisdom. But in their foolishness, they have simply replaced the true God with a dumb idol, whether it be a statue or some theory about the multiverse. They have rejected what is known by them with a concoction of their own imagination. When the human will acts in its freedom according to its own desires, it rejects God. And God, in his patience and his justice, permits man's sin and rebellion to be its own punishment. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. The reality of all human sin is that it is a rejection of God, whom we know to be God. It is not ignorance, and it is a rebellion against what we know to be right. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. And so we live in a world that promotes sin as virtue. And that's, of course, the irony of virtue signaling in our day. It almost always signals vice. It is not only hypocrisy, but it promotes what is evil. And the punishment? God gives us exactly what we want. Since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. He lets our sin be our own punishment. We, by our own choice, live in the squalor and muck, in the pig pen, in the darkness of this world, alienated from our God. The world rejects the revelation of God. Our hearts, by nature, reject the revelation of God. Luther says in his explanation of the third article of the Creed, in the Catechism, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. This is not because we are ignorant or simply weak, but it is because the desires of our hearts, the desires of our minds are evil, and our wills are actively opposed to God. They suppress the truth in unrighteousness. That is an active verb, to suppress the truth. We have made a choice apart from the Holy Spirit. We have made the decision on our salvation. And we answered, no, thank you. Give me sin, give me death, give me damnation. The world rejects the revelation of God. But there is one who can heal our willful blindness, who can open our eyes and free our wills from their bondage to sin, and gives us his Holy Spirit to believe. Our Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot choose Jesus by an act of the will, because our wills are precisely what needs to be converted. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. And we are truly without excuse before the divine tribunal. But Christ does not try to make an excuse for us. Instead, he comes down from heaven to become one of us, to die for us and to cover us with his righteousness. Christ himself is the righteousness of God proclaimed by St. Paul, which is revealed from faith for faith. That is to say that God gives us his own righteousness, which is perceived by faith and received by faith and faith alone. And how do we receive such faith? By the hearing of the gospel. By the hearing that proclamation that Christ was born of the Virgin Mary, that he has come for you, that he has died for you, that he delivers unto you the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. But in Christ, the grace of God is revealed to all men through his propitiatory death for the sins of the world. In that proclamation, the Holy Spirit, who is sent by the Father and the Son, is at work and gives you a new heart to transform your will, to free you from your bondage to sin. And so faith is created and perceives and receives the grace that God has given for all mankind in Christ Jesus. And so, go out and proclaim that gospel to the university atheist, to the shaman in Mongolia, and to the boy across the street who does not go to church. For that gospel is the power of God for salvation. If it is not received, that is not your fault. That lies solely in the one who suppresses the truth in unrighteousness. But know that every time you proclaim that word, the Holy Spirit is at work to transform the heart, to enkindle the faith that receives and perceives the righteousness of God. And you know this because your sinful self, too, would suppress the truth in unrighteousness if it were not for the work of the Holy Spirit in you, through the gospel in your heart. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Do not doubt it, proclaim it. Amen.
The ushers may come forward to receive the offering.
Continue with the Advent versicles that are printed on the bottom of the bulletin. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined.
Our God shall come, alleluia.
Prepare ye the way of the Lord, alleluia.
Make his path straight, alleluia.
Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness.
Let the earth open and bring forth salvation.
My soul, God, thy name, I call. Let my spirit come. us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
O God, from whom all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works do proceed, give unto thy servants that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey thy commandments, and also that we, being defended by thee from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in rest and quietness through the merits of Jesus Christ our Savior, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Please join us in the fellowship hall for prayer.